IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. The last time we spoke about the top teams in the East. But since then, we know the top nine in the East because the Hornets have been knocked out. Hawks were amazing yesterday. Trae Young did not look like he was going to lose a knockout game. And he's been there before. He's been there last year as well. So kind of expected, saw that coming, but didn't see the nature of defeat for the Hornets. I think they just fell apart. They lost by 30 points almost. So kind of disappointing there. We also saw the Brooklyn Nets beat the Cavs. So that was expected. I mean, they would have been mocked mercilessly if they lost to the Cavs. But now Cavs and the Hawks play for the number 8 seed and a face-off against Miami. So that'll be a fun game. In the West, we saw a really good game. Timberwolves take on the Clippers and a really great celebration and after scenes of as if they won the title. So that was good to see, I think. I think Timberwolves are making the playoffs and after a while, I think the last time they made it was when Jimmy Butler was there. And before that, I don't know when. So
Kevin Garnett, I guess.
Yeah,
Kevin Garnett.
Like ages ago, right? So great scenes there. But the Clippers have another chance. They play the Pelicans, who were terrific in the game against the Spurs yesterday. So good games coming up tomorrow on Friday. And then we have the playoffs starting Saturday. Can't wait for that. Some great matchups and all of that. We'll talk about the Western Conference today and we'll go through this quickly.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one, or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to The Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's gonna be lit.
We have three of our matchups set and a possible, you could say three and a half matchups set, right? The Phoenix Suns will take on either the Clippers or the Pelicans. The Warriors take on the Nuggets. Memphis take on Minnesota, which I think will be a terrific game. And the Jazz take on Dallas Mavericks. Which game are you looking forward to the most in this? Do you think anything would be a sweep? Do you think anything would go down to seven? Which is the closest, which is the easiest game if you had to pick?
Easiest to pick? Oof, that's a tough one. very interesting.
I think the Suns game should be easy, right? Whoever they get
on paper, it should be. You know, they're going to play between the Pelicans and the Clippers. Right?
Well, Clippers could pose a bit of a trouble just given the history of those teams, right?
Correct. But no, I think the Suns can handle both. So that's probably the given their record, that should be the easiest to call. Mm-hmm. Between Memphis and who do they play again? Timberwolves,
Minnesota.
Yeah, probably the most exciting clash.
Both young teams.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So neither of them really has a playoff style as such. It's not like we know what happens if they go two down in a playoff series. We have no clue. A bunch of Maverick young talents and then Pat Beverly to give us content. I think that's a good series. And he's going to guard. I think he'll have the task of guarding Jamorant.
We saw Jamorant in the playoffs last season and he was terrific even though they lost in five. He averaged 30 points a game against the Utah Jazz last season. So they have a little bit of playoff experience. Even they made the play-in game in the bubble year, right? So a little bit, not much, but it'll be exciting to see. It's a totally new bunch. Desmond Bane has been amazing. All of their other stars have been great as well. So I'm looking forward to that. What happened to Karl Anthony Towns though in that game? He just choked. He disappeared. He got 11 points and then got fouled out. Is this like his thing? Like just scared of the stage? He was visibly shaken. I mean, he didn't look ready for a playoff game. He was nervous, I guess, expected to lead the team. In contrast, Anthony Edwards really stepped up. This was his coming of age moment. Like we knew it existed, but this was his stage to shine. And he really took over the fourth quarter and ensured that the Timberwolves got over the line. What happened to Karl Anthony Towns though?
So I don't think we saw anything new as such in this match. Towns has always had a history of, he's had his struggles in life in general. And he's always had a history of, let's just say, being not that tough mentally. A bit in the mold of, say, a Paul George or a Ben Simmons, where all of these players are still working on on getting their mental strength right. There are moments where they become vulnerable. Embiid, you know, used to dig into that against Towns, just like against Drummond. And so we saw that again. I guess he got off to a bad start. And I guess he didn't have the strength to cope with it. I think he just put more pressure on him, and he put more pressure on himself. And with every mistake that got compounded, and he just played himself out of the game with Towns. And so it was always there. There was this suggestion that he's mentally perhaps not tough enough. But he's young. Big game, first time maybe. Choked. It happens. It's okay. With Edwards, who also, by the way, had a bad start. Didn't start particularly well.
Fourth quarter just turned around the stats.
Yeah, and again, there's nothing new there. I don't even think that's mental strength. I think it's just he just doesn't give a damn. Success, failure, he doesn't care. It's all fun and games for him, which is refreshing to see, really, for a talent this potent. And we saw nothing new from D'Angelo Russell. We always knew, come what may, he's a stat padder, this, that, blah, blah, blah. But he's ice cold under pressure. We've said this before. Yep. We know this. He led from the front when everyone else was tanking. And then he got support. So
do you think he's turned around his reputation of being a stat pad? I think he just generally does well nowadays compared to what he used to be before.
I mean, it doesn't make him a bad player. I just said early on in his career, he maybe looked better than he was at the time.
Yeah.
Because he was on a shit team taking all the shots. It's like if you put Kyle Kuzma on the Wizards and take out Beal and a couple of others, he's going to get points. But that's also because he's getting all the usage rate and the shots. He's not a bad player. Obviously, not everyone can get those points in those situations. But it would be a fallacy to assume that he's like an upper echelon guard. At the time, he's obviously matured since then. He's never been a bad player. I think he's stepping into his prime now.
True. For the Timberwolves to win, they need Cat to be at their absolute best, right? There's no way that they're beating that Memphis Grizzlies team because they've seen everything. They've seen Ja Morant get injured. 22 games he's missed. They still won. For them to even trouble the Grizzlies, I think Cat needs to be Cat. He needs to be dominant, as he always is during the regular season. Otherwise, I don't think they have a chance. Do you agree with that? Do you see Grizzlies winning it comfortably? How many games do you think this will go into?
I actually think so. I mean, on paper, they should be Grizzlies in five. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. But I actually think for Memphis to have their best chance of winning, I mean, Cat can't suck. he's got to step up, but I don't necessarily think he should be the best player. Not in the series, not on the team. I think he should be just good enough and not stink it up. I think the real battle will be Ja Morant versus Ant. And that's really, for me, that's the two best talents on court in that series.
True.
Edwards versus Ja Morant. Ja Morant, fearless, already been to the playoffs. Supremely talented, athletic. Anthony Edwards, all of those things. Never been to the playoffs, couldn't care less. Just no fucks given attitude. Both are so uniquely exciting in their own way that I would love to just see them go ahead to it.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Cyrus says it's cock and bull, Cyrus, Kajol, Naren, and Antriksh discuss the meat ban in Delhi and UP and the controversial sociology textbook that outlines the merits of dowry. On IVM Likes, Zalak, Antriksh, and Snehal discuss this year's Oscars and Grammys. On Press Decode, Sarah, Vagda, and Prafula take a look at Russia's alleged war crimes in Bukha. On The Fighting Goat, Arjun and Somesh observe how the MMA market has changed since 2003. And on Postcards from Nowhere, Utsav takes us from Udipi in Karnataka to Madurai in Tamil Nadu. We dive into the fascinating history of the dosa, its origins, and its evolution. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any of our other shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. Also, don't forget to rate us on any of the platforms you're listening to us on, including the one you're listening to us on now. And also, please do check us out on YouTube. We have a number of channels. They're all available on ivmpodcast.com/YouTube. We're also doing a small listener survey to help us understand you, the listener, better and how you like our shows, how you respond to the advertising, and so on. We'd really appreciate it if you could spare a few minutes to fill it out. It's at ivmpodcast.com/survey. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors on the network this week, SBI Life Insurance, India Water Portal, and Jupiter, a digital banking app. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Agreed. Warriors was Nuggets. Who's your pick on that one? Warriors should on paper win, but I have my doubts on that one because the Nuggets have been a nightmare for the Warriors in recent past. They don't have the big man presence. I don't think Kevon Looney can stop Jokic, so they don't have that presence. Well, Draymond Green didn't play in all of the games against the Nuggets this season, so that's one consolation. Steph is just getting back, so I don't know how fit he's going to be. Steph, Clay, and Draymond have played 11 minutes together this season. 11 minutes, not 11 games. 11 minutes together. So you don't know how those big three will gel. They should because they won championships together, but you still don't have recent history of doing that. And then there's a Joker on the other end. So I don't think that's going to be as easy a game as, say, facing the Jazz. I think the Warriors had a better chance against the Jazz, but against the Nuggets, I find it a little bit tricky. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Western Conference. Everyone has a better chance against the Jazz. That's just how it works. It's that time of the year. Sorry, Jazz fans. I was kidding. If Steph Curry wasn't fit, can you imagine how jittery the Warriors camp would be? Because, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered as much if they had Clay throughout the season, if Clay wasn't coming back after two years. Given that he himself is sort of still settling in, not really the rampant Clay that we know. We've seen glimpses, we've seen games, but not a stretch. They'd be shitting bricks if Steph wasn't available. And is Steph back in any form? That's a breather for them. It's a tricky series, but I think it's one where, for me, this is like the early Clippers versus Mavs clashes from like a couple of seasons ago, where Mavs are good, they're exciting, they have this scintillating European triple-double talent, but somewhere they're going to fall short. And injuries are going to plague them and blah, blah, blah. And the Clippers will prevail in six. I think that I expect to see something of that sort where the Warriors win in five, but more likely six games. And the Nuggets good show, but, you know, come back next season with a full squad.
Yeah, I agree. I think my expectations are similar on those lines, in fact, against the Nuggets. I think the easiest game for me in this whole series, Phoenix Suns are, of course, the easiest pick. But I think Dallas against Jazz. With a fit Luka.
I'm swinging Dallas too.
I think the Jazz are slowly falling apart. You can see more rumors of the Gobert-Michelle fights. You can see how they've been responding to media's questions about their fights. The coach, when asked about it, he said they eat together. That was very funny. I mean, what is eat together? They have their meals. Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, this does kind of indicate that there are some uneasiness there in that camp, and not at the right time of the season. As you said, every time the season, the Jazz just fall apart, and it looks like yet another season. They've
feels like away the last
20 point leads.
Yeah. No, go on.
Yeah, it feels like the last straw, like you said. I mean, there have been rumors that Gobert might be chucked out, and Dallas is one team that's interested in them. There are rumors that the Knicks are interested in Donovan Mitchell. So it just feels like they're going through the motions now. I don't think they have a chance of meeting the Mavs. If Luka is fit, if there's no Luka, that's not the Mavs team we know. So I hope he'll be fit. We don't know his status yet. It's questionable as of today. Do you agree with that, though? I mean, does the Jazz have any chance of troubling the Mavs?
Gobert to Dallas is funny. It feels like I've been watching a lot of F1 Drive to Survive on Netflix lately. Uh-huh. And it feels like that season in Red Bull where Max Verstappen and Ricardo are warring and sparring, and they're not quite there as a team. And and they have to get through a few more races knowing that Ricardo is going to move to Renault next season. It just feels like it's that time of that point in their relationship. I don't know. They've not been very confidence inspiring, the Jazz. So I struggle to pick them. On the other hand, the Mavs have been on a tear with Luka, and they've picked up a nice set of support crew in that Porzingis trade. Dinwiddie has been good. I mean, it's not like he's a concrete second starter after Luka, like he can take over this franchise someday. But he's been a good contributor. He's been sort of like, let's say, Seth Curry in Brooklyn.
Except that Seth Curry has been injured since he moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Put on 0 points in 30 minutes in a knockout game.
Fair enough. But I'm saying that level of importance to the game strategy. where he's not quite the superstar that I tend to make him to be, but I think he's fit. He's fit.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good squad player. I agree.
And that's all you need around somebody like a Luka. That's all you need around somebody like a Jokic. So I really think it, I don't know, I just feel this isn't even basketball logic. This is just, it feels like it's time for the Mavs. One series I think it's coming.
I agree. If the MVP was picked just from Jan onwards, if you ignore the first few months of the season, I think Luka is easily the MVP. The tear he's on, he's unstoppable. But just that he had a very slow start to the season. He's missed games at the start. And that kind of did not even put him in contention, right? So I think so. Well, that's the Western Conference. Any dark horses before we just leave? Like, we picked the Toronto Raptors in the East. Like, that's the team that nobody's talking about, but they could win. Is there any such team in the West?
I fancy the Timberwolves. I want to see what they
do. Okay. I think for me, it's the Mavs. I just think that...
The third in the league. What dark horse is the third?
Fourth in the league. Fourth in the league. And they'll be Phoenix Suns in the second round. So if Luka's fit, I can see them troubling the Suns. Tough call, but...
They are dark horses. I thought they finished third. I thought they held on to that position. There you go.
Yep. Well, that's all on today's episode. Great games coming up over the weekend and on Friday. I'll come back and talk to you about those games. But that's all on today's episode, and see you soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans' point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.